All right, with that, we'll go ahead and turn to the book of Matthew in chapter number 7. And we are continuing our look through the book of Matthew, and we are in the Sermon on the Mount. And, man, this has just been so impactful as we have looked at the first major sermon of Jesus, and he's standing there on the Sea of Galilee on the mountainside, and he's really laying out for or instructing those who are hearing him. He's instructing them in what it means to follow him. And really, we have been looking at that ourselves, and hopefully we've been thinking about, well, am I following Jesus in the way that he described? So we're going to read verses 13 and 14 in just a little bit, but you know, we're going to talk about the way today. John Bunyan, who wrote a book called Pilgrim's Progress, he wrote that book while he was in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The intro to that book, Pilgrim's Progress, in one of the editions that I have, says that Pilgrim's Progress has been translated more than any other book than the Bible. The book Pilgrim's Progress is an allegorical story about a man named Christian who finds himself under a heavy burden. He is living in a city named Destruction. And listen to this phrase at the beginning of the book. It says this: the book follows Christian as he follows the way to the celestial city. The book follows Christian as he follows the way to the celestial city. So here we're thinking about those who are sitting on the hillside by the Sea of Galilee, and they find themselves in the same situation. Jesus has described for them what the characteristics of the citizens of the kingdom would look like. Jesus is presenting to them the way to the kingdom. They have a choice to make. Will they follow him, who is the only way, or will they follow these false teachers, the Pharisees, which Jesus will warn them about in verse number 15. So Jesus is presenting the way, and those that are listening to him on the hillside, will they listen to Jesus and follow the way, or will they listen to the false prophets, as Jesus calls them in verse number 15? And so, throughout the sermon, the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, we're going to see a contrast. We're going to see several different contrasts. We're going to see the contrast between the two gates. We're going to see the contrast between the two ways. We're going to see there's two destinations. There's two groups of people contrasted. There's two kinds of trees. There's two kinds of fruit. Two groups at the judgment. Two kinds of builders building on two types of foundations. So as we look to the conclusion in the rest of Matthew chapter number 7, we're going to see all of these contrasts today. For the sake of time, we're only going to be able to focus on the gate and the way, the contrast between the gates and the way. We'll look at the other contrast as we go on. But let's read Matthew chapter number 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus said, "Enter you at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." That's where Christian found himself, right? He lived in a city of destruction. "So broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today and we open your word, we are thankful for the eternal word that you have given unto us to guide us on the way. Lord, we're thankful for the truth that we know is in your word. And we pray that as we open up and we try to expound your word to your people today, that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts, your Holy Spirit will encourage us in our way as we follow you along the way. And God, for those who may not be on the way today, not the way that leads to life, but the broad way that leads to destruction, Lord, if there be any on that way today, we pray that you will enlighten them to their destination, destruction. And they will see the need to turn from destruction and to turn to the way in which you walk, the way that leads to life. I pray that you will draw your people unto yourself. But thank you for the encouragement we find in your word today. May your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts as we worship you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, one thing I want to mention is before we kind of dig into Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 13, I do want to talk about the way for just a minute, because Jesus is talking that Jesus is considering those who are listening to think about the way in which they are following. You see, the Christians were first known as the people of the way. The first time the word Christian was used was in the book of Acts at Antioch in Syria. But before that time, before they were called Christians in Antioch, they were known as the people of the way. And the reason they were known as people of the way is because of their lifestyle, the way in which they lived. In other words, it was not their words that caused them to be known as the people of the way, but the way they lived. It was their lifestyle that identified them with being followers of Jesus. In other words, you could tell they were followers of Jesus because of the way they lived. So they were known as people of the way. If you want to look at a couple of verses, we'll look in the book of Acts in chapter number 9. And this is Saul of Tarsus, I believe, telling us about his conversion. And in verse number 2 of Acts chapter number 9, he says, "And desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way." What way? The way of Jesus. They were people of the way. They followed. They lived like Jesus. "If he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." So they were the people of the way. Another place where that is alluded to or hinted to is over in Acts 24 and verse number 14. And it says this, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way," which they call heresy, "so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." This is Paul again giving his defense before Felix. But again, he's talking about the people of the way. I just want to kind of lay that out for you. Because early on, the followers of Jesus were known as the people of the way. And so in essence, as Jesus is standing on this hillside and he's speaking to those who are listening to them, he's asking them, "Which way are you following?" He's going to present to them his way. He's been presenting to them his way. He's been presenting to them the characteristics of those who are my followers. This is what they look like. This is the way they live. This is the way they will respond to life. And so as he's talking to this group, "Which way are you following? Are they going to follow the way which leads to life, or are they going to follow the way which leads to destruction?" And you know what? That's a good question for all of us to consider today, isn't it? Which way are we following with our lives? And so we come to the way in verse number 13 of Matthew chapter number 7. And Jesus says, "Enter at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to life. And many there be that go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." You know, often we look at that passage of Scripture, especially later on in the text when we look at "by their fruits you shall know them." Often we look at these passages of Scripture as standalone passages of Scripture, but we do want to always remember to keep them in the context. And so we want to understand that Jesus is highlighting the two ways for those who are in his audience. Those who are listening to him have been taught by the Pharisees. They've been taught how to be religious. And of course, the Pharisees were the predominant group. So Jesus is challenging his listeners to think about, who are you going to follow? Are you going to follow me, who says, I am the way? Or are you going to follow the way of the Pharisees? Jesus is outlining the path which he walks. He's outlining for them the path which leads to the kingdom of God. And of course, that's what we need to consider also. Are we walking like a citizen of the kingdom of God? Or are we walking a religious way? Or a non-religious way? Which way are we following? The contrast between the two paths is a teaching that is common in the Scripture. If you want to hold your place there in Matthew 6, turn over to the book of Jeremiah in chapter number 28. Again, we're looking at the contrast between the two ways, and we want to see that this is not the first time that the two different ways have been laid out for people to choose which way they were going to follow. In Jeremiah chapter number 21, in verse number 8, these are the words. And unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. And so this is talking about the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. And when the city is destroyed, what are you going to do? Are you going to follow the city, the way of life? Or are you going to follow the way of death? And I'm not going to dig into that too deeply. I just wanted to present to you that the two ways, the ways to follow, the way that leads to life, there's a way to walk that leads to life, and there's a way to walk that leads unto death. And so that has been earlier given in Scripture. If you turn back to the book of Joshua, I know this is a passage that all of us know, where Joshua, towards the end of his life, well, I know it was in here earlier. I had the same disease that... get to the right part of the Bible, Mark. Joshua 24 and verse number 15. I know this is a passage you know. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so Jesus talking to them here on the hillside by Galilee is not the first time that it's been discussed about the two ways. And so there's two ways laid out: the way that leads to life and the way that leads to death. Now, as we're thinking about who's going to choose to enter in at the straight gate, we want to understand that we know that the Holy Spirit is the only one that can lead you to choose the path of life. The Holy Spirit is that which shows us the way to life. It is the Holy Spirit that gives the effectual call because of our election by God. And so we understand that, and so we know that the only way we're going to choose life is to be led that way by the Holy Spirit of God, to call upon the Lord. But we want to understand there's also value in having the two ways presented to us. The Holy Spirit can utilize our own choice of walking down the pathway of death to lead us to understand that, you know what, the path I'm on is the path of death. And the Holy Spirit can use that to show us that we're on the path of death and we need to find the pathway that leads to life. So we do want to understand that there is value in presenting to people the two different ways so that we can all consider which way are we on, so we can think, am I on the way that leads to life, or am I on the way that leads to destruction, or the way that leads to death? And if you're on the way to death, how are you going to get to the way of life? So there is value in presenting that to us and for us to think about that. So the two ways that Jesus is putting out to them, he first presents to them the broad way that leads to destruction. Of course, he says, first enter at the straight gate, which we'll talk, but the broad way that leads to destruction. You know, the broad way is the way that most follow. Everyone follows the broad way when they're born in this life. Why do most people follow the broad way? Well, most people follow the broad way because it is the natural way. It's the way in which you were born. What do you have to do to find yourself on the broad way? Do you have to make a conscious decision to say, hey, I'm going to follow the broad way that leads to death? No, that's the way you were born. You were born dead in your trespasses and sins. You know, David even said, in sin had my mother conceived me. So you don't have to make a choice to be on the broad way. That's the way that you're born. You're born into the broad way. This is what's known as total depravity. You don't need to make a choice. You're already on that broad way. So the choice is not are you going to continue on the path that you're already on, but are you going to seek the way of Christ? Are you going to follow the path of Christ? So why do most people choose the broad way? Because that's the natural way. Why do most people choose the broad way? Not only because it's the natural way, but it's because it's the way of the path of flesh. The path of the flesh. You see, it's pleasurable to people to follow the broad way. The broad way is the way that feels good. It's the way that feels normal. It's the way that affirms you for who you are. So I'm going to follow the broad way because it feels good and it makes me feel good and it affirms me for who I am. And so I'm going to follow the broad way. People follow the broad way because it requires no self-denial, no crucifying of the flesh. It's all-inclusive and it's all-tolerant. It's tolerant. It's all-inclusive. Everybody's on it. It's what everybody else is doing. It's not hard. It's easy, so I'm going to follow this way. So that's why broad is the road that is the easy way. And many follow that way because it's their own way and it's the easy way. And so they're going to follow that way. And listen, it's broad. And many there be that go in thereat. And that's the pathway that all of us found ourselves on at one point. We're all on that broad road that leads to destruction. What's the end of the broad way? Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Destruction. I alluded to it earlier, but Christian in the book of Pilgrim's Progress, he found out that he lived in a city called Destruction. He was born there, and he was under a heavy burden so that he needed to leave the city of destruction. And so all that's on the broad road, on the broad way, find themselves on the path that leads to destruction. Again, as we've already said, it's destruction because the natural man is born dead in trespasses and sins. He has no life in him, so he is on the pathway to death. What do you have to do in order to end up separated from God forever? Absolutely nothing. You are born dead in your sins. You will sin because you're born dead in your sins. It's your nature to sin. It's your nature to be on the broad road that leads to destruction. And so it leads to destruction. And the end of that way is death. That's what you find at the end of the broad road. And you know, just think about the people that's on that broad road. It leads their life to destruction, doesn't it? The people that are on the broad road, not only does it lead to eternal destruction, but it leads to physical destruction in this world. Why? Why would it lead to physical destruction? It's because it lacks self-discipline. You think about people who are on the broad road. What attacks them sometimes? Well, the sins of the flesh attack them, right? So alcoholism is maybe a sin that someone might commit on the road that leads to destruction. And what is the outcome of that? Cirrhosis of the liver. So their spiritual condition affects their physical condition, right? Another sin that is prevalent in a characteristic, I guess I should say, it is a sin, but a characteristic of someone that is on the broad road today would be drug abuse, right? And what does that lead to? Well, drug abuse, well, you lead to hepatitis and HIV and all kinds of other things. And we know the people that abuse drugs, you look at their lives and physically, you know, their lives are destroyed because of their drug addiction. So they're on the broad road, they're spiritually dead, and they make decisions that cause physical death. You could think of an unbiblical idea of marriage, and then the relationship between a man and a woman that's not according to the Scripture, which says that it's one man and it's one woman. A man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And what happens when we leave aside the biblical definition of marriage and we want to define marriage according to our own terms? A spiritual decision to lay aside God's way of marriage. What's the physical result of that? HPV. Unwanted pregnancies. Leads to murders of babies. Gender confusion. And all kinds of other diseases that happen because of leaving God's design for marriage. A spiritual decision causes a physical destruction. Then we could think about even obesity. Obesity is not self-discipline, right? And what does that lead to? It leads to diabetes and heart disease and all kinds of other things. You see, an undisciplined lifestyle leads to a physical illness. And each one of those that I described, and we could go on and on and on and talk about all these things, but each one of these carry with them emotional and spiritual dangers, which only get worse with the progression of the disease. My point is, when you're on the broad road that leads to destruction, not only is it a spiritual situation, but it affects your physical situation. And so, we want to understand that free expression, you know, live free, do what you want to do, live how you want to live. Free expression does not lead to life. Free expression leads to destruction. I want you to think about our society. Has our society become a more honorable and healthy society as we have loosened our moral standards and become undisciplined in our lifestyles? Has that been good and beneficial for our society, or has it led our society to destruction? You see the point. The broad road leads to destruction. It leads to unhealthy lifestyles. It leads to unhealthy relationships. It leads to death emotionally and spiritually and physically. When Jesus said, "Broad is the road that leads to destruction," in every way, following the broad road leads to destruction. And we need to understand that. And so you need to think about, which way are you on? Are you on the way that leads to life, or are you on the way that leads to destruction and leads to death? Remember, many are on that road that leads to destruction. And you don't have to choose to be on that path. You're born on that path naturally. You're born on the broad road that leads to destruction. The choice is, are you going to leave the broad road and go to the narrow road that leads to life? So Jesus lays out also, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that what? That leads to life. You know, there's an old song that says, "I've never been sorry that I trusted His name. Every moment I find Him exactly the same. My soul has been singing since the Savior came." I'm looking to Kim, so she's helping me. "I've never been sorry since I trusted His name." You know what? I think that's true for everyone who's truly trusted in the name of Jesus. Because they know that when they receive Jesus, they receive life. When they received Jesus, they were brought off of that broad road that leads to destruction. And they were set on that straight and narrow way that leads to life. And I don't know about you, but I've never been sorry that God took that one who is dead in their trespasses and sins and quickened them and made them alive and gave me eternal life. I've never been sorry that I'm off the broad road and I'm placed on the straight and narrow way. I've never been sorry. You see, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. You know, later on, Jesus is going to allude to this. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way. When Jesus says this, I am what? The way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father except by me. What's he alluding to? Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads unto life. And who is that way? Jesus says, I am the way. Listen, you're not on the way naturally. You're not on the way without a decision to follow Christ. You come to him because of the Spirit which draws you unto him, but you repent of your sins and you put your faith in Christ and you make a decision to follow the way. And so what Jesus is saying, the way that leads to the kingdom of heaven is the way which Jesus walks. See, I am the way. And if you're going to be on the straight way and the narrow way, you're going to follow the footsteps of Jesus. And like Jesus, you're going to do always those things that please the Father. That's going to be the goal of your life, to do always those things that please the Father. Now again, remember, as we have studied the Sermon on the Mount, we have seen that Jesus is discussing to those who are listening to him about the expectations of the citizens of the kingdom. In other words, you know, the citizens of the kingdom are going to be merciful, so that they may obtain mercy. The citizens of the kingdom are going to be pure in heart. The citizens of the kingdom are going to be peacemakers. The citizens of the kingdom are going to be poor in spirit. The citizens of the kingdom are going to mourn and they're going to be meek, and we could go on and on and on. They're going to be salt of the earth. They're going to be the light of the world. This is what the citizens of the kingdom, this is the way they live. This is what they look like. You can tell the citizens of the kingdom by the way they live, because they're on the straight and narrow way. They're following Jesus in the way he walks. That's what the citizens of the kingdom do. And so these who are listening to him on the hillside by the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is laying out this teaching for them, they're going to know the choice they are making. They're going to know, am I going to follow Jesus? Or am I going to follow the Pharisees? You see, this way that Jesus is laying out for them, the straight way and the narrow way that leads to life, notice it's not an attractive way, because few there be that find it. You see, it's not the way that everyone wants to follow. Because it's a straight way, it requires self-restraint and self-humbling and self-denial. You see, this is not the way that leads to self-gratification. It's not the natural way according to the flesh. It doesn't seek self-glory. It's not about seeking what I want and what makes me feel good. No, it's daily taking up your cross and denying yourself and following Jesus. It's a straight way and it's a narrow way. But it's the way that leads to the glory of Christ. And you know, most people don't want to think about self-denial and crucifying the flesh. And as Paul says, I beat my body and bring it into subjection. Most people don't want to think about identifying all the ways that they have sinned and done wrong and what they must do to crucify that. And if your eye offends you, pluck it out. And if your hand offends you, cut it off. Now that's not literal, but that self-denial, people don't want to think about that. So it's not the attractive way but it is the only way. You see, you can't be on the narrow way and live according to self. You have to live according to following Jesus. And so it's not an attractive way. But remember, it's the way that leads to life. It's not the way to destruction. It's the way to life. And you know, this week we read in the book of Proverbs in chapter number 13 in our daily Bible reading, and many of you I know are reading along with us, and so you read this same passage. But listen to the words of Proverbs. Whoso despises the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. You see, following the straight and narrow is life. Following self leads to destruction and death. Really, there's no choice except you have to deny yourself. And so the straight gate leads to life. Jesus is encouraging his listeners to consider the way they are following, because few there be that find it. So I might ask you that same question. Which path are you following? Are you following the easy way and the broad way, the self-fulfilling way, which leads to death? Or are you following the narrow way and the straight way, the way that leads to self-denial, and the way that leads to Christ? Which way are you following? You see, the straight gate leads to life. It's the way of Jesus. It leads away from destruction. It leads to self-discipline. It leads to the crucifying of the flesh. You know, as I was studying this message, the image that kept popping into my mind was about the one who wanted to sneak away and find a better or an easier place. What happens to that one? You picture them in movies. What happens to that one? What do they always find when they want to go and find their own way? What happens to them? They find death, trouble. It's not good for them when they want to find their own way. And so that picture keeps popping in my mind, and we need to think about that. If you continue to follow your own way, what are you going to find at the end of that way? You're going to find death and destruction. So we're going to think about, as we bring this to a close, we're going to think about the broad way and the narrow way. The straight gate and the wide gate. Which way are you on? You know, all roads may lead to Rome. Have you heard that? But not all roads lead to heaven. There are people out there today that will tell you, well, listen, you go your way and I'll go my way, and we're all going to get there. We're all going to the same place. Who are you going to listen to? That's Oprah. You going to listen to Oprah? How about Bill Nye the Science Guy? Bill Nye the Science Guy will say, well, science has proven that there's no such thing as afterlife. Now, that was just an article I read this week. You going to listen to them? You know, I'll be interested to hear the words of Oprah 5 minutes after she's dead. I'd be interested to hear the words of Bill Nye, the science guy, 5 minutes after he's dead. And there's a whole list of others that will tell you, you don't need to follow Jesus. There's no such thing as Jesus. You don't have to follow that way. Just go ahead and live your life. I'd be interested to hear from them 5 minutes after they die. But you know, you can listen to one who has come back from the grave. You see, anybody can make any claim they want to make while they're alive on this side of the grave. It's quite another thing, the testimony of one that has been dead and comes back to life. That's the person I want to listen to. Let's turn to the book of John in chapter number 20 to hear that testimony of the one who has been dead and yet is alive. You know, as we're turning there, we could think about the rich man and Lazarus, right? And what did the rich man say when he was in hell, lift up his eyes, being in torment? He just wanted Lazarus to come and dip his finger in water that he might touch to his tongue because he was tormented in flame. There's the words of one who's suffering because of their choice. John chapter number 20, verse number 24, it says, let me get there. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it in my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord, my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. What are the words of the one that came back from the grave? Peace be unto you. There's life when you're following the way of Jesus. The broad way and the narrow way. Jesus is laying that out for those who are listening to him. He's laying it out for us also. Jesus is going to challenge them to think about the way they are following. And Jesus lays the same challenge out for us. Which way are you going to follow? Which way are you on? Are you on the broad road that leads to destruction? Or are you on the narrow way that leads to life? It's something we all need to consider. Because if you want life, you're going to follow Jesus, who is the way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house and listen from your word. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to us and challenge those who are listening. And Lord, I pray that you'll challenge them to think about the way they are following. And I pray, Lord, that if there's any that's on the broad road, that your Holy Spirit would enlighten them to their destination and show them that they need to follow you to find life. And we thank you that when following you, we find life. We thank you for Jesus, who has made it possible. In his name we pray. Amen.